to Dallas.
Correct.
The rationale to go back to Connor then, Paul? The rationale, I think he's played well, obviously.
No, when you do that, it's Kyle Connor and it's played
I know
pretty
that,
good
I
game.
Apologize.
And, I think the schedule was right for when we got into November to start looking at. We got a couple of back-to-backs coming up, but if we had a guy that was going, run him a little bit more. He said lots of off days, lots of rest. We haven't gotten had to go back-to-back with anybody yet. So,
you didn't skate yesterday, so does that affect how Adam Lowry has sort of progressed and maybe why he's not playing tonight?
No, it's the injury. He's, you know, healthy, cleared for contact, and good, but the injury meant he couldn't do a lot of conditioning and a lot of grinding, and we don't have to put him in until we can get him through that. So this is more about fitness. It's good. I could put him in the lineup tonight. And there's some competition there. I certainly don't have him in the pecking order at the bottom of that, but coming off an injury, you got to be – we're healthy enough that he has to be 100%.
The hazards of playing a team like Montreal that maybe hasn't played its best hockey but has been shown signs that they are kind of on the rise. Your thoughts on playing them?
Combustibility, right? They're 3-2 in their last five. As we can get a small glimpse of when you're not playing well in a Canadian market, it's not a lot of fun, but that doesn't give you the taste of what it's not like in a city like Montreal. So anytime something good happens, they are very, very difficult to deal with. Really quick, 37, I believe, shots per game on average, which means they're spending a lot of time in their opposition's end. They're getting an awful lot of pucks to the net. And they're a very, very quick hockey team. So they're going to come out like a house on fire. We've had good starts. We need to be as quick as they are. And this is going to be I got this one as a grinder. I don't think this is going to be – I mean, none of this ever comes true, but my feeling on this one is it's not going to be a high-scoring game. That it's going to be a really tight, well-skated game and a real competitive game.
Paul, you only had your top six available for one period last year. What's it meant to have that group in terms of consistency?
You're doing it to me right now, aren't you?
No, I'm not.
You're not a superstitious man?
I have no impact on your lineup. You know that.
Are you sure of that? Have we not all seen? I'm not saying I believe in superstition. I'm just saying that have we not seen enough to at least wonder? It's a good question. We're really pleased that we've been healthy to this point. Ken, thank you.
Paul, you've been around a long time. A lot of goals are being scored in the NHL this season. Any reason why in your mind?
I truly believe it's not a change in the rules, but the slashing standard has affected the way the game is played. I really believe that. But I just see the number of guys that are going to get beat wide that are allowed at the very least to get the back of the net that would have had one across the hands in tight areas as well. Plays that are made in the 10-foot area now where there's contact, there's people there. Your out is no longer across the hands. And that used to be not just to affect the puck, it would be the start of a hit. Right, you'd come over the top of the hands and then finish into the wall. But now, if you want to keep the puck in the corner, your stick has to be there instead of here. It's more difficult then to finish that hit. It's a little bit more time with the puck. I think it's had a pretty big impact on the game. Now, and there are smarter analytics guys clearly than I am, but I'm sure there's more power plays and that affects things. Look at the shot totals, right? Everybody, 37 Montreal, that would be a ridiculous number 10 years ago, 5 years ago. And now it's pretty reasonable because you can get the puck down the wall. You can get it in off the rush. If you've got a half step or you're beside a guy, you don't have to worry about losing a finger.
Just one other quick one about Josh and Jacob Trouba. Not about health. We talked about their growing pains earlier on. What have they been doing better as a pairing in this last five-game stretch? And what does it say about them that their best games have come against the highest elite of the competition they faced, whether it's McDavid, Crosby, Seguin, Ben the other night?
They had some really good hockey for us last year, Josh in his first year. I don't know that those games early, you could probably pick a game where Jake wasn't in the first five, Trouba wasn't at his peak. But since that time, he's snapped in and he looks like he's in mid-season form. I think that, and this might be an analytics thing, you take a look at those first two games and the damage it did to all those numbers, the plus minus, everything that happened, and certainly in the first three or four, I think that skewed and probably kept us from, or maybe on the outside, appreciating what Jake and Josh have done this year. They played very, very well against the other best. They both skate well differently. Jake is a real powerful skater out of corners. Josh, spectacular job closing the gap on a really active stick. So they're effective, kind of, we found them against different styles of number one lines. Whether they had some size to them or they were very, very quick, they can kind of, there's a good hybrid there.
And what's it been like to be able to spread the minutes out? You knew that having those six guys together would allow you to not have to run somebody at 28 to 30 minutes. What's that meant for your group in terms of your defending?
I think it's been really important. We think that we're going to get a better test of this starting the middle of November, because we'll go 5 weeks now of as tough a schedule as we had last year for that eight-week stretch. And they've handled it well. Every one of those guys wants to play 25 minutes, right? And they've really handled it well. Depending on the matchup, there's been different nights where a guy got into the late teens there and he's not used to that, and they've handled it well. We think that it'll be a benefit, more of a long-term toll on the bodies. And if we've had a guy that's a little nicked up, we didn't still have to run him really into big numbers, so that's helped.
Paul, just referring to, I guess, what Linus said before the last game, and more generally speaking, in your history in your experience as a coach, how do you, for lack of a better term, massage the ego of a goal scorer or manage sort of the psyche of a guy who sort of identifies himself as a guy who has to score goals in order to contribute? How do you manage that on a day-to-day basis? Because obviously guys can't score every game. They're going to go through dry spells. How do you manage that?
Well, just open conversation about what's left besides scoring and how important that is, and try to get the perspective or the attention focused to the team. That, are you helping us win? And the answer, and so this is difficult. I'm going to answer this question, and you're going to start attaching all these things to Patty Laine. I don't mean you, but there's a bigger pool here. But the question is general, not specific to Patty. Patty's a different mind. And we can, specifically with Patty, he's driven to score goals, and he's angry when he doesn't. So, and there's no the gray area here. If he's not, then you get what he said the other day. He's not very happy with his game. He's not really happy with anything. You live with that. It's part of what drives him, makes him great. So, but his game, his last game, if you take the goal out, was one of the best games he's played all year. He played really, really well, and it's his game wasn't in the tatters that he was feeling that it was. So I kind of smiled when I saw that, and it's part of the learning curve. But all the standard things are true. Are you getting your chances? Why are you getting your chances, or why aren't you getting your chances? And then there's one puck on the ice and 12 guys, what are you doing to influence the positive result for our team? So there's more to this game than you just scoring goals. And once they can kind of get that, and you don't want them to completely get that, right? You want that pressure that they're going to score goals, because they have to. That's what they do. You can never, the line I come back to is, you can't tell a guy to score harder, right? Like that confidence, that slice that you're talking about, isn't given to anybody. You know, it's earned, and it's only earned through results. Yeah, I got a lot of chances tonight. Doesn't make that guy feel any better when he's driving home. He can use it to get through the next day. Puck's got to go in the net.
Do you think Patrick coming out the way he did and being so honest, does that contribute in any way to a game like he had that night, to be able to get that off his chest for being able to?
I think he's just really, really smart. And he's a very bright man, and he's probably got this whole thing figured out better than all of us, but it was well played,